Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you again on another beautiful June Sunday morning. Man, it is fantastic outside. We are in a full-fledged summertime going on. I hope today, as you're traveling today, you've turned on KBOE 104.9 FM, and you're just traveling down the highway, and you have picked up the station. I hope that today that you hang with us. We're going to have a great time of, I think, of inspiration, and also to getting a nugget in the midst of what God has for us today in this teaching. It's a time to roar, so I want to thank you as you travel down the highway today for being with us today. Many of you shared with me, Mike, we listened to you on the way to church. Again, I'm going to thank you as you head and make way to your church service today. I pray that God goes before you, the Holy Spirit intercedes for you as you get ready to head into your church in a time of worship and prayer, and also to of the teaching that you have from your pastor. Just a blessing today as you're doing that. And again, thank you for those that this is your Sunday morning teaching and worship time. I want to thank you for participating in Vital Ministries. You're always, it's an honor to just to be here, and also to just to give the revelation that I believe that God has for us today. So thank you so much. Before we get started this morning, just a couple things. Again, I just want to remind you that we send out every week for both men and women on the Vital Ministries webpage devotionals. And they are fantastic. My wife writes for Vital Life. And it is just it's short, but it carries a nugget of inspiration. And I encourage you to get that. You can go right on your phone. You can get that on demand. You can get that sent by email to you. I just encourage you to jump in and participate in that. Also, too, men, we send out devotionals 5 days a week. We have writers. And I find no greater time than this. And I talk with so many men. They don't have devotions. They don't have time to open up God's word to get reflection, inspiration, and direction for your life. Man, guys, jump in on this. The writers are doing such a fantastic job of inspiration. I just encourage you to jump onto Vital Ministries, go to Vital Men website. You can get that on demand again on your phone. Don't miss out on that as well. Also, too, I just want to remind everybody that our next Vital Gathering is coming up in July. You don't want to miss that. Make sure you set your calendars for the dates, and I'll be sharing more about that as we go. We're actually in the midst of the teaching. It's a time to roar, and we will complete that teaching in July, so you don't want to miss out on that at all. So with that being said, we are past our 3-day weekend. It was a 4-day week this week. It was kind of changed. I don't know about you, but man, I struggled with Tuesday because I kept, is it Tuesday? Is it Monday? Or is it Wednesday? But it was Tuesday, and it just kind of changes things up a little bit, but it's good to get back on track. But we're in this teaching series today. It's time to roar. And I think people especially are afraid to express how they feel, how to speak it, especially in how our nation is going. Churches have become silent, and even elected officials have been silenced or shut down for wanting to know the truth and standing up for truth itself in the midst of sometimes it seems like injustice that's going on in the midst of our nation. But how do we do that? How do we speak in to where it's a time to roar? And what is going against us and making us second guess when we should speak out and say something when things are not going right? This past week, I had this time with this guy. He talked with me, and he said, "Mike, I wanted to speak up during a service time in this past week, because this past week it was a time of recognition, a time of Memorial Day, of speaking about the sacrifice and the freedoms that we have in this great nation." And he spoke with me. He said, "Mike, they didn't say anything. They didn't speak about it at all." And he goes, "I wanted to stand up in the church. I don't want to be silenced, but yet I held and stayed in my seat, and I feel like I let the Lord down." And I encouraged him with this, especially in meetings and in services, there is a protocol. There is a time to speak and when not to speak. And we also, too, folks, we without a doubt, we serve a God of order. And I encouraged him to do this. I encouraged him, you know what? You were right in how you felt, but you need to do it in the right manner so it doesn't come against you. So I encouraged him to write down his thoughts, get the emotion out, and share his concerns with the leadership team of his church. I think that's important because then he gets an opportunity to write down his concerns, the things that he didn't feel like was right. And a lot of times we're afraid to do that in places. We're afraid to do that in our churches. We're afraid that to do it in a public setting. We're afraid, you know, what's the way to do it? And I think order is always the utmost importance in order to get our voices heard. Too often, like this story, we get afraid and we allow the enemy, the devil, to get a foothold on us. And we lose our voice. And that's why I think our voices are being silenced. And they're being silenced, that I believe even greater, by what I call spiritual warfare. It says in 1 Peter 5:8, to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is roaring like a lion, walking around seeking whom he may devour. He wants to silence your voice. And that's one of the areas I think of spiritual warfare that's going on, is he's doing that. He's making us afraid. He's making us fearful. Because, man, you speak out, you say anything. Man, even there's been times people will share with me, Mike, aren't you afraid about even what you speak sometimes on the radio, that you'll be a silence? And no, I'm not. I'm not going to walk in of being afraid and walking into being timid about it. I believe with all that's within me, I'm speaking what the Lord has asked me to do. And in that, he gives me favor. I do it in a diligent way. I do it in a way that I think is not... which creates great conflict, but I also too do it in a way that I do think it's time for us to speak up. Today I would like to talk to you about 9 types of what I call spiritual warfare that you may be experiencing in your own life that keeps you from speaking out to doing what God wants you to speak and God wants you to say. And I think this is important. I think this teaching this morning, how the enemy is going to want to come against even what I'm speaking today. Use this, folks, and write these things down. It's going to be essential for your life. It's going to be essential that I think for the steps as we move forward, not only in your own personal life, in your family life, in your life in your community, and life in our state and nation. So let's get started this morning with 1 about spiritual warfare. 1 is this: warfare against your rest and refreshment. See, the enemy wants wars against you being able to enter your secret place. And what I mean by that is a place where God allows you and takes you to a place of wherever it might be. For some, it's during their devotions. They'll sit there in a chair and speak out. Some, they want to get out and they go to different places of their secret place where they really have intimacy with the Lord himself. Jesus, if you ever watched so often, especially this new series that's out called The Chosen, I encourage you to get that. It's on YouTube. It's The Chosen. It's they're in season 2. And we see throughout that, and we also see throughout the New Testament, where Jesus goes out and he spends time alone with the Lord. He gets in a secret place so he knows the next move, that it's not the move that he's making, but it's the move of the Father himself giving him direction and clarity. And I think the same thing happens in our lives. Jesus wants to give us rest and refreshment, but see, the enemy does this. The enemy wants to keep you busy. He wants to keep you striving and the pressure to get things done. Isn't that true? Busy, busy, busy. That's what he wants us to do in our lives. So if we can keep us in that place, we no longer can take time to find that place of rest. This past month, we've almost been there a month. I got a place, we've moved, my wife and I have moved out to a small farm in the country. And I love it because first thing, I get up in the morning, I do my devotional time, I read my Bible, I get alone with the Lord and listen to what he has to speak through to me through God's word. And then the next thing we do, I take our dog out and we take her out to do a potty walk. And when we're out on the farm, here's some interesting things that I find. Every morning when I get up, it's the refreshing. I hear the birds singing. I hear in the background the turkeys gobbling. I hear the pheasants, the crowing in the background. I hear geese and all this stuff is going on. And it helps me to be in this place with nature, to where I start hearing God's voice and it becomes a place of rest for me. But that's for me. Everybody needs to find their place of rest. My wife, it's for sitting on our back deck, and we've gotten some chairs. She stands back there and sits on her chair drinking coffee and reflection and hearing the voice of the Lord. She said she's never experienced such great restful place. And I encourage you, we all, if we're going to go against this warfare against your rest and refreshment, you need to find that place, the secret place that the Lord is wanting to take you. 2. Warfare against your clarity to receive revelation, direction, and blueprint. See, the enemy wants to keep you foggy, allowing confusion to come in. His greatest battle with you is within your mind. You know, Joyce Myers, I admire her. She's written some great books. She has actually written a book, The Battlefield of the Mind. It's a place where I believe in the midst of the battle where, as my dad would say, stinking thinking starts coming in your life. And he wants to warfare against you and keeps you so you don't have clarity to receive the revelation of what the Lord's wanting for your life. And then the next thing in the revelation, then there's no direction. And then you can't follow the blueprint of where God is guiding, taking you in your life. And what I mean about the blueprint is that's the direction. That's the place of where your trajectory of your life is headed. I love it when people come and they know exactly the trajectory of where they're headed in the midst of their lives and what God has got you. And it's all over. And God does great ministry in the midst of that. You know, one of the things I found, I spoke with a lady up in New Sharon and she sells these bulls. And she was sharing with me, she says, Mike, people come from all over to get my bulls because I spend time with them. They're tame, they're quiet, they're gentle spirited. And that's not normally the character of what a bull is. But she says she spends time with them, and as she spends time with them, she also gets a place in her life of where God is with her in the midst of as she's on the farm. So it's amazing to me how God can use us in so many different ways in our lives, and different whether it's in farming, whether it's in construction, whether it's in a place of you're in a business office. See, God wants to have clarity in your life, and in that, you'll find the blueprint of your life and you're walking in the fullness of what God has for you. But see, the enemy wants to come and warfare against that. Number three, warfare against your voice. What I mean about that is what we're talking about here is the prophetic voices. You might say, well, only the prophets have a prophetic voice. I disagree with that. I say that God has a prophetic voice in every man and woman. And what he does through that, he speaks through us. But the enemy comes and he goes against that. He wants us to second guess that through what's being spoken. The enemy wants to take away your credibility. The enemy is wanting to shut down your voice as a prophet. And what I mean by that is we have opportunities as men and women to be prophets within our own household. And one of the things that the prophesying was this, that the Lord has given me in this new season is a place where I was wanting and desiring this place of this farm. And the enemy kept telling me, I couldn't do it. You can't buy it. You can't do this and that. So I start prophesying about it, that the God was going to give me direction. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, was going to give me clarity and a place to go. And it's brought me into a new season, a new place of energy where God has got me in the midst of my life. But see, the enemy didn't want that. The enemy wanted me to keep with status quo, simply going through life and doing the normal things, as opposed to going to the next level that I believe. So I started prophesying about what the Lord had for my life. And I encourage you, prophesy about what Jesus has for you. I find it so interesting. They say, well, only the prophets can do that. You know, the prophets, there's different places of prophesying, but I believe that the Lord wants us to prophesy in a place of where we are in our own place of life. And allow the Holy Spirit to give you the prophetic word of direction. And when you do that, man, the blueprint of your life is just going to be exposed. He's going to share with that. Number four, warfare against what God is birthing in you. See, the enemy hits hard here. The area in which God is adding his favor, his anointing, his conviction, and his vision. See, the enemy, he wants to sabotage your life with keeping you with second guessing everything in your life. He does that by bringing controlling people in your life. He does that by causing delays, setbacks, and even creates closed doors in your life. And you know that sometimes we think the closed doors God, and sometimes God does close doors. But I believe with all that's within me, the enemy closes doors as well. See, the Lord wants to birth something in you. He has something of in your life of direction in ministry. And what I mean by that is in ministry, it doesn't necessarily have to be in a full-time ministry. And I tell you what, folks, I found that hand in hand because I kept feeling that the Lord was birthing in me in full-time ministry. But what he was really birthing in me is full-time ministry in my everyday, ordinary life. So how I do that, how that birth, it gets birthed through me is on the radio, even this morning. You know, folks, I'm just an average, ordinary guy. There's nothing special about me, but the Lord has allowed me to have a voice in my community, in my area, my place of where people are around me. And that's the place where the enemy comes and second guess what has been birthed in me. He's always wanting to tell me who I'm not, always reminding me of the mistakes that I've made, the mistakes of with people and whatnot. And folks, that's just the enemy speaking. Who doesn't make mistakes? Who doesn't go through life and we don't doesn't give us an opportunity to just go out and do those things? I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is when we do make mistakes, just go back and ask the Lord for protection and also to ask him for forgiveness most of all. Get up, get moving again. Don't stay there in the summit of things and allow the enemy to take over. Number five, warfare against what God is building in you. The enemy knows and sees what God is building you. A new mantle has been placed on your life, and the enemy wants to come alongside you, and he wants to bring weariness and disappointment. See, I believe that God places a mantle on every man and woman in their life. And by that mantle, he's building something in you. He's building a place. I talked to a guy that most recently he's been praying about whether or not to jump in to be a part of the school board. It's a new mantle that the Lord is birthing in him. And I shared with him, I said, hey, you just need to be praying about that. Start claiming it. Prophesy about it like we just shared about. But also, too, God is building that in you. You got to be able to step into those places. I've been praying about another mantle in my life that the God has brought in me, and I'm praying about in our local community, because so often I think Christians have not stepped in to the. We're afraid of the political scene. We're afraid of doing things what God's doing, and I've been praying about a possibility of jumping in and within our own county of possibly. Now again, umbrella of mercy here, and I'm not announcing, but I've been praying about whether God wants me to step in and possibly being a part of our county in a supervisor capacity within our county itself. I'm praying about that. God, do you want me to do that? Is it the right direction in my life? Got a lot of things going. If that happens, I need to let some things go. So what is God birthing in me? Number six, warfare against your home. Home should be a place of peace and not warfare. See, what the enemy does is the enemy constantly within your home wants to create division and distraction. He wants to bombard your home with strife. And I know many of you hearing me even this morning know exactly what I'm talking about here. He wants to do that. He wants to keep you from doing those things in your life within your family. And men, I want you to hear me on this. See, I think it's our responsibility of men to allow it to be a place of peace. And we're going to talk about that a little bit further. But a place of peace with your family, that's when you're having your prayer life. That's in not only your personal prayer life, but how often as men do we pray over our wives? We have a special time. We get together as husband and wife, and we pray over each other. My wife and I do that every morning. We get up early before I go to work. We go out and we stand. It's just a short 3 to 5 minute prayer between the two of us, and we just pray over each other. We pray over our health. We pray over the mantles that God's put in our life. We pray over that God will bring blessings and favor in our lives. There's nothing wrong with asking of that, and I think that helps us combat against the enemy, that warfare, so he can't create division, can't create a place in our lives where we're fighting against that, and also too over our children. What a great place to be praying over our children, and I'm thankful for that. Number seven, warfare to keep you feeling defeated. See, the enemy is under your feet. I want you to hear me that. I'm going to say it again. The enemy is under your feet. He is defeated. So what he wants to do is he works so hard to get the upper hand in your life, tricking you and making you think that you're powerless, that you're give you a sense of hopelessness and even defeated. See, if you want to get rid of that, this is what you needed to choke off the heaviness and fear, as allowing the Lord and the Holy Spirit to speak in your life of who you are, not walking in being defeated. Standing in what God has called you to be, the men and women of that God is in your life. Not walking out and being defeated, but walking in, stepping in vision and direction of what God has for you. You know, too often I think Christians walk around in a place of defeat instead of walking into the joy of the Lord himself. Who would want to buy into that? If you're standing on the outside, if you never asked Christ to be in your life, who wants to walk in and see where you see a bunch of Christians that are defeated all the time talking about woe is me, woe is the world, woe is what's going on? Yes, you know what, folks? Things are tough, without a doubt. We are seeing some things in our nation that I tell you what, that brings the hair on the back of my neck that stands. But I tell you what, I've read in the book of the Revelation that God wins. And that by doing that, I don't have to walk in defeated. Yes, we have to battle against it, but don't walk in defeat. Walk in and knowing who you are in Christ. Number eight. Warfare against your vision and ability to dream. So the enemy wants to distract your vision and not allow you to dream. His attack is to stun and numb you, and he wants to divert your eyes from the place of God is wanting to move you. He wants to keep you in the midst of the storm. See, if we're constantly in a place of storm, we lose vision and we lose the ability to dream. So yes, storms come in our life without a doubt. They come and they come hard. But I believe without a shadow of a doubt, the Lord brings in vision and the ability to dream and chase after dreams. For me, this past season, in this past few months, you know, my wife and I, we prayed about this farm. Is this a vision, Lord, a dream that you want to give us clarity and direction? So I went up on multiple times and I looked across. I didn't go on the land, but I started praying over it. Lord, is this the place? Is this the vision? This is a dream that you have for us in this next season within our marriage. I also too asked the Lord to give me visions and dreams as we head into this next season of ministry. I'm heading into what I call, and I'm in it, I'm in the sage season. I'm no longer a young man. I am now an older man. Even in the midst of my age, in the next week or so, I have a birthday. I am no longer in my 20s, my 30s, and my 40s. I just talked to one of my sons, and he turned 29 this past week. And I just shared with him, man, don't lose your vision and your dreams. What has God got going for your life? Some good things are going to happen. Number four, warfare of confusion and emotional hacking. Isn't that interesting? The enemy wants to hack you emotionally, stirring up distractions and the devil and your faith in Christ. Isn't that true? He wants to emotionally hack you so you no longer have faith. Man, that is full blown, I believe, in a great need today. The enemy wants to hack us emotionally, hack us in believing that God has simply left us alone. And we see that so much in Israel. If you get into the Old Testament, and especially and you see what's going on after the kingdom, the kingdoms have fallen, the kings were no longer, and Israel is walking in this delusion state. They've had nations overtake them. They're in exodus again. They've been taken over. They're in exodus from their nation itself. And see, the enemy wants to do that. But I want to talk to you just briefly on a few things of what we can do to overcome that spiritual warfare. Number one, take a higher ground. Pursue your secret place. Fight for it. Hebrews 4:11 says this, "Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest." Are you doing that? Are you making every effort to step in your restful place? Here's the next one, is rebuke the winds and the wars in your life. In the name of Jesus, cry out for help. Rebuke those winds. Rebuke that warfare that's come in your life. In the name of Jesus, I in your name, in the powerful name of Jesus himself, we can combat that and call out Jesus' name. No against those winds. No against that warfare. The next one is this, is keep your vision regardless of what you see. Write down your vision. Prophesy over it. Steward the promises that God has given you and then guard them. Step into those places. Go against that warfare. Next is, the last one is this, is look at what God is doing. Keep your eyes on Jesus and allow your voice to roar. Too often, we get our eyes distracted. We get them off of Jesus and what he has and the focus of our life. If we're truly going to combat spiritual warfare, folks, we got to keep our eyes on Jesus more than ever. Otherwise, the enemy wants to come and kill. Remember that. He wants to come to kill, steal, and destroy your joy and life. And by doing that, he takes away your faith. Stand in knowing who you are, the sons and daughters of the living God. When things get tough, I say that multiple. No, Satan, I am a son of the living God. You are not going to come against me, and I'm going to keep my vision. I'm going to keep my focus on what God has, and my eyes are on Jesus himself. Folks, I encourage you today, get into Ephesians chapter 6. And when I've spoke about that. I didn't feel checked this morning to go there about that. But when we put the armor of God on, and it says, when everything has happened, you stand. Make your stand today, and in your stand, allow your voice to roar against the warfare that the enemy tries to bring in your life. I believe this morning that one of those nine things, the enemy is coming against you, and I pray that today that you come against that spiritual warfare battle, that you stand on knowing who you are in Christ. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He is the one that's going to get you through the battles of life itself. Trust him, folks. Don't allow that to go wrong in your life. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, again, I just want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you for the opportunity to where we can come and hear your voice by reading your word. Man, that's one of the greatest places that I hear your place, that when I find that secret place is getting into your word. That's where your inspiration comes. Then I love to, Lord, when you get me out, I pray that maybe people will find today, where is the rest place in their life? The secret place that they could go and commune and have a place of revelation. A place where you put a new mantle, a place where you can allow them to prophesy that. Lord, I pray that somebody listening this morning needs to hear this. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll go to them today. Allow them to hear the words that are spoken, words that you bring into our lives. And Jesus, we always are reminded of this, and we want to thank you. We want to thank you for coming to earth, walking, coming into our lives, coming and living in our lost world, coming to a place where you took on a cross for our sins. And you took that cross and you died on it. You died a horrific death, but 3 days later you conquered that. You rose from the grave. And now you sit at the right hand of the Father, and you sent the Holy Spirit to abide not only along with us, but in us. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for all that you do for us. In your name we pray. Amen. Folks, I hope today, as we talked about the spiritual warfare, and I know that comes against our lives, that these 9 ways, that maybe something spoke to you this morning, something that you need to look at and call out by name to Jesus to help you. Folks, we're looking forward to, as we continue this teaching series, this Time to Roar. We're going to be talking about it next week. You don't want to miss it. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.